This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you. So this was the hottest summer on record. Does that spell terrible things for the global climate? Yes. But does it also spell success for ice cream shops everywhere? You betcha. Next week is the last big week for ice cream counters to turn them out for beachgoers and tourists and everyone else. And that brings us to a very serious decision that everyone confronts. The sweaty high school kids staring at you with a scoop in hand. The line behind you is waiting impatiently. It's time to choose sugar cone or wafer cone. Now let's forget for a second that you can choose a paper cup. These third-party cop-outs do not interest us in this moment. This is a sweet little binary choice. It divides us. It separates us into opposing groups. And the voting isn't in secret. It's right out there in front of everyone. And everyone gets to see what kind of person you are. In your left brain, sugar cone.
I'll pick a
sugar cone.
Sugar cone.
The sugar.
Sugar cone.
Sugar.
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 When you bite into it, it's more fun.
I think it melts faster.
Crunchier.
Because it's crispier.
It's much more ice cream here.
I like what the texture becomes as the ice cream kind of soaks into it. It becomes kind of gooey and chewy.
Tastes better.
I don't like wafer cones.
Okay, left brain. In your right brain, wafer cone.
Out of a wafer or a sugar cone, I probably would go wafer.
Wafer cone, for sure.
Wafer.
Wafer cone.
I always go for wafer.
Because you don't need the extra sweetness.
Because that was a classic.
It tastes so good. And if it only was vegan.
The texture of it.
I guess maybe because I always had it.
The consistency.
Durable.
They're lighter, they're airier.
I like it better.
When they haven't got one, I take the other. Because I want the ice cream.
This is a time for choosing. What side are you on? Head over to twitter.com/thetakeaway. You can take our online poll there. So Team Sugar, Team Wafer, this really does divide up the world.
If you do have to divide up the world, that would be the nicest way to do it. There are lots of really worse alternatives.
That's my guest, Chris Kimball. He's founder of America's Test Kitchen and also founder of Milk Street Kitchen. I had a chance to sit down with Chris and talk about America's sweet but defining choice, sugar versus wafer.
Well, either I've evolved to a higher or lower place, probably the latter, because I just get in a cup at this point because I'm going for the maximum ice cream experience. So I do like a sugar cone. I do like it, the crunch to it. I like the sweetness to it. It probably has molasses or brown sugar in it, so it's got a little bit more flavor. The wafer cones don't have any flavor. And they get that weird, you know, when the ice cream melts, it gets gooey, you know, it changes into some other substance. It's in between liquid and solid, a place you really don't want to be.
Well, where does the modern ice cream cone come from?
It turns out that until the 1800s, they were paper cones, and they were also metal cones, obviously neither of them edible. And then the late 1800s, in Germany, there were reports of edible cones. In this country, very late 1800s, Italian called Marchionne, who invented the first edible cone in New York. He got a patent in 1903, and then the St. Louis World Fair, 1904, a Syrian businessman claims, and this is one of those things like hot dogs, that he was next to an ice cream booth at the fair, and he was making those deep-fried pastries, and he rolled one up in a cone shape and fried it, and then the ice cream vendor put it in a cone. That seems somewhat apocryphal, but in any case—
And at this point, a disappointed child with the ice cream scoop on the ground and sort of the empty cone in their hand is an American archetype.
Yes, or the ice cream cone attached to your forehead. Yes, with a piece of ice cream is also part of the culture as well.
Yeah, again, I do still go for the wafer cone only because of volumetric concerns. I can just get more ice cream. And this may go back, Chris Kimball. The cones we got when I was a little kid were those old-style kind of flavorless little Dixie cup cones. They didn't taste like much. They were sort of yellow and corny. And they didn't hold a lot of ice cream. And maybe that's why I like a great big cone these days.
Yeah, or the cones that had the paper on the outside. Remember those? And you'd take the paper off. And it's all about the music, right? I still remember in my neighborhood that there was the ice cream truck. And it was all about that big door and the guy in the white suit and standing in line with your quarter. And, you know, anything you want to know about food, it's what you ate as a child. Except I did once recently did a Hostess cupcake and I remember them as being my main foodstuff for years, but not quite so good. looking back, the chocolate flavor was on the de minimis side.
Look, Chris Kimball, you're the guy to ask. Is there any effective way to make your own cones at home? I guess making a super thin waffle and just kind of rolling it up like a cigarette would sort of work.
The question is, why are you doing this? Because you can, or because you, you want to? I mean, there are a lot of things in the food world that are like, you can do it, but why would you want to? I mean, yeah, now this is why there are ice cream cone factories. I would not go to that trouble. I would make my own ice cream, however. I do that, but I'll buy the cone.
Leave it to the machines and to the experts. There are some things that are better made in a factory, after all.
Well, you know, I've tried making puff pastry a few times, either the old-fashioned way or in a food processor, and I've also decided that buying puff pastry is really the way to go. So,
well, Chris Kimball, we've established that you're a sugar cone man. We've established that I'm a wafer cone man for volume reasons. I do have memories of the worst cone available. Those little corny, kind of flavorless Dixie cup cones when I was a kid also came in a artificially colored sort of rainbow swirl hippie tie-dye fashion. They were gross.
Yeah, but if you're a kid, gross is good. I mean, it's like Pop Rocks are kind of gross, right? I mean, they were pretty good.
Yeah. Again, they tasted like nothing, but yeah, I guess they looked kind of cool. I liked them because they were artificial. We didn't get that. So the kids that had them, I was jealous. Wow, your mom lets you eat artificial things.
Yeah, but look, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. Artificial was the cutting edge of food. So the least natural, like blue things, right? Blue food was great. You know, snowballs were great because they were totally unnatural. Anything unnatural and grossly colored and did weird things in your mouth, like popped and sizzled, that was the top of the food pyramid back then.
So let's look into the future before we go. Is there any innovation on the horizon for the cone, or do we stick with tradition? You're either sugar or wafer. You know what you're going to get, and that's kind of what summer ice cream is all about.
Well, there are trends in the ice cream itself, and there are a couple I should just mention. The Thai ice cream roll is the coolest thing ever. You get this wide circle of metal that's super chilled. You put sweet cream on it, and you take like these spackle knives, you know, a couple of them. You can put anything on top, fruit, cookie dough, anything, and you chop and mince until it's all mixed up. They then turn it into they smear it like you would spackle on sheetrock into a big rectangle, let it chill for a few seconds, and then they roll it up on one of these spackle knives, and you get this like cigar roll, and you get five or six of them, and then they put them on end in a cup. And they can put toppings on them. That is really cool. Unnatural, but really cool.
Now, the future of ice cream may, in fact, be the ice cream itself and not the cone. The cone remains traditional and remains a key dividing point among Americans, but a happy one, says Chris Kimball, founder of America's Test Kitchen and founder of Milk Street Kitchen. Great to have you, Chris.
My pleasure. Thanks.